come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, health, and politics. Each of my guests will share his perspective on one of these topics. My next guest is an immigration attorney and author. He explores the thorny issue of immigration reform in the United States. We'll discuss solutions proposed in his book, Caught in the Middle. Danny Quintana is a tireless advocate for immigration reform. He's the author of several books. His latest is titled Caught in the Middle, Stories of Hispanic Migration and Solutions to America's Immigration Dilemmas. Danny graduated from the University of Utah's College of Law in the early 1980s. He has retired from his law practice after a very successful legal career. While attending the University of Utah at the age of 21, Danny was afflicted with transverse myitis and has been in a wheelchair bound ever since. Joining us from the New Mexico area. Hi, Danny. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being our guest and being a subject matter expert, because this happens to be the week that the Supreme Court ruled on Arizona's immigration law, and they struck down parts of the law and upheld others. The part that they struck down was that the U.S. federal law requires that all aliens over the age of 14 who remain in the United States for longer than 30 days had to register with the U.S. government and have registration documents on them at all times. That was struck down. What was upheld, however, was that state law enforcement officers attempting to determine whether an individual's immigration status during a lawful stop or even a suspected stop, they can stop you and they can check your immigration status. Now, the size and the scope of the immigration problem in the United States is enormous, and you get estimates anywhere between 12 and 20 million people are illegal aliens. And the Obama administration has deported more illegal Hispanics than any other administration prior to this one, which was a shocking fact to me. President Obama announced in June his plan for illegal children who come into this country under the age of 16. His policy is to allow these illegal aliens who meet certain conditions to get a 2-year deferral from deportation and apply for a work permit. But President Obama's record on Hispanic immigration is spotty at best. So I guess my first question to you, Danny, is this. Was the June 15th amnesty announcement by President Obama, was that just political grandstanding, or did it serve some practical agenda towards immigration reform?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Basically, what you have is calling time out as a coach when you see things are getting out of hand. And there are so many families that are just being destroyed by the current system. And there were pleas from Hispanic families, to stop deporting parents, which is the real difficulty. You have 40,000 children in foster care, and what this does is it gives young people an opportunity to at least try to solve temporarily some of the difficulties that are faced by an international problem they didn't create and a generational problem that they're just subjected to.
All right. We say it's a little bit of both, though, Danny. So I guess the other side of that coin is the political side of things. This announcement was made in an election year, and let's face it, it's less than 6 months to the election. So was this an attempt on the Obama administration to try to curry some favor with Hispanics, who his record has been spotty up until this point?
Well, I'm sure it was, but, if you look at the people that are being deported, and I wrote a column about this here a while back, you're deported if you're going to be breaking the law. If you don't want to be deported, don't get a DUI, don't drive without insurance, don't get in wrecks and not have insurance or a suspended license, don't engage in horrific acts of domestic violence. I mean, a lot of the people, when I go to immigration court that are being deported, it's more a relief. It's like, oh, thank goodness they're being deported. So. It's not as clear-cut as people would like to think. I mean, he's just enforcing the law. I mean, it's not really so much grandstanding. You can't get true political reform and immigration in this country for a whole host of reasons. One of the number one reasons you're not going to get real immigration reform is the Democrats and the Republicans both know you got 20 million people that are in the United States working without documentation, and they're paying into Social Security. You got 78 million people that are going to retire in the next little while, called the baby boomers. And where's the money going to come from if all of a sudden you give residency, you give legal status to 20 million people that are paying into a system where they're never going to collect? I mean, that's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. basically the immigrant Social Security money is being stolen by the federal government, and some of the clever retirees go around giving people that are here without documentation their Social Security card so that they can get greater contributions. I mean, it's clever, but
also illegal.
Well, but people are doing it all over. I mean, the current system is basically making everybody a nation of liars. You got employers that know their employees don't have proper documentation, and you have employees who are working that are working under false documents.
All right. Now, Danny, break it down for us. How many of the illegals that are in this country that are working are actually working with some form of a Social Security card and are contributing to Social Security and retirement plans, and what percentage of them are just getting cash under the table?
You know, that's unknown. I don't like the word illegal. What I like is they are undocumented.
Okay.
Their labor is certainly not illegal. People are paying them for their labor, and they're actually receiving the benefit of their labor. Basically, what you have is you have workers working without proper documentation, and it's not an American problem. It's a global problem.
Well, let's come to that, because that's your basic thesis. I mean, we talk about undocumented immigration puts all sorts of burdens on our public services like health care, education, law enforcement, employment, which you were just talking about, even environmental problems. But you're saying that these are just symptoms. They're not the root issue. The root issue is an international economic problem. State your case. What is that economic problem?
From 1970 until 2012, the population of the planet went from 4 billion to 7.1 billion. We're adding 100 million people a year to a planet that is bursting at the seams with people. We have far, far more people on the planet than we have jobs for, and those jobs are not going to be there. What we have to do is we have to make our labor pool not only more flexible, but we have to, in certain areas, make it labor-intensive. And then what we have to do is we have to develop the nations near the equator. What you have is you have a south-to-north migration of people and labor, but you don't have, from north to south, the migration of technology and the improvement of those economies. I mean, they're improving, but they're just not improving fast enough. I mean, some countries like Brazil have just done a star job. Mexico's economy and their economic growth rate is actually better than the United States. So you have economic change, technological change, and population change. Those all three combined have made it so that the immigration laws worldwide have not kept up with these major changes. Immigration is the issue of this century. And how the issue can be solved is with the first world, the people that are in first class in this little spaceship called Earth, helping the people in third class, not even in second class, I mean, not even in the former communist world, but the people in third class and in fourth class, helping them with education so that the women who are educated have less children, and helping them in a whole host of other areas. That will work. What we're doing now, you know, you're trying to put Band-Aids where you need a tourniquet.
All right. It brings up so many different points. That answer was rich with all different lines of questioning. But I guess one of the areas that I want to turn to is, how do we help the third world countries that you're referring to, or as you put them, the third class countries? We're already offering them ungodly amounts of aid. And that aid is for things like nutrition. It is for things like infant mortality, getting children to adulthood, those types of things. And we're addressing that with money. We're addressing that with workers. So what more can we be doing to help some of these marginalized countries that you refer to?
Well, a lot of the problems that exist in the former colonial world were created by some of the colonial powers, and then they're also created internally by the governments that are there. I mean, in Mexico, Mexico owns its poverty because PRI ran the country into the ground for 71 years.
Right.
It'd be like George Bush being president for 71 years. Of course, you're going to have a lot of difficulties. With the countries in Central America, those we got to own up because we had military dictatorships throughout those countries that stifled economic development. You know, we kept Marcos in power in the Philippines for so damn long that, you know, it really stifled economic development there. You know, the amount of foreign aid that the United States give, we spend more on dog food and on lipstick than we do on foreign aid. And while it may seem like these amounts are astronomical amounts, as you label them, you know, they're really not. It's not going to break anyone to help economically develop these countries. In fact, it will help us. What we need to do in our country is we need to take our college-educated students and use those students working in the third world to develop proper legal systems, accounting systems, divide property so you can borrow on contract. There are just no jobs in America for attorneys, but I'll tell you what, Central America, South America, Africa, they need attorneys. They need accountants. They need engineers. They need all of that. And we have the intellectual tools in the universities to provide that. If we just work together and think outside the box and are a little bit more creative, many of the things that we consider problems can be solved. I mean, I use the proceeds of my books to deliver wheelchairs to the third world. So when you get a chance, definitely go online to caughtinthemiddlebook.com or to Amazon or to Barnes & Noble or to eBooks. And, you know, the book addresses a lot of these issues. And it's important that we individually work with these countries. We're going to succeed in the world with individual acts of kindness. I mean, military might is absolutely important. I mean, the military helps me deliver wheelchairs all over the world. But what is also important is the humanitarian effort that we make on an individual basis. Immigration is a multidimensional problem. It's not a single-issue problem, and there are no single issues that can solve it. That's why I'm proposing to amend the North American Free Trade Agreement and other free trade agreements so that you have the freedom with the right of passage with the free trade agreement for people, not just goods and services, to circumnavigate the planet.
And I want to talk about that in some detail, Danny, but before we leave there, my guest is Danny Quintana. And Danny, you mentioned Mexico, and I don't want to get off track too much on NAFTA. We will come back to that. But you mentioned PRI, the pre-party, holding power in Mexico for 70 years. They're holding elections in Mexico again in July. That's just this month, and it appears that PRI is going to win again. So what's going to be the impact on immigration from Mexico if PRI does win the election?
That's an unknown. PRI has so many deals with the drug dealers. And if you look in the dictionary under corruption, you'll see PRI there. Just like in the United States, if you look at the problem in the United States with drug use, PRI can't undo the economic damage that's being done to Mexico from the drug trade unless America addresses the drug trade. Again, it's a multidimensional problem. Will PRI succeed in having the accelerated economic growth that has been achieved in the last 12 years? I don't know. Hopefully they've cleaned up their act, and hopefully this is the new and improved PRI, and it isn't the corrupt PRI of López Portillo and Salinas and these others. With López Portillo, he stole so much money as president that for him to have achieved the level of wealth that he had while he was president on his salary, one Mexican economist estimated that he would have had to be president of Mexico for 127 years. America didn't cause that problem. You know, that's something that was caused internally by PRI and by the corruption that existed there. If Mexico had its economic act together, which it's doing, by the way, but if Mexico had a standard of living that was the equal of the United States, then you wouldn't have south-north immigration. When 10% of Mexico's population lives in the United States, because PRI used the United States as a safety valve for people that wanted a better standard of living, it tells you have some very, very serious governance problems.
You do. My guest is Danny Quintana. And Danny, let's come back to NAFTA for just a minute, because you contend that the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, is the source of this undocumented immigration problem, that NAFTA didn't turn out to be the giant sucking sound that Ross Perot claimed that it would be in the 1992 election. But what's wrong with NAFTA? Why does NAFTA cause an immigration problem in its current incarnation?
What NAFTA did is it allowed American corporations, these huge corporations that receive tax subsidies from Congress, to go and sell goods in Mexico. So a little Mexican farmer could not compete with a huge company like Walmart and Archer Daniels Midlands and Confederated Foods and these other massive companies that are down there selling food. So consequently, it unemployed 12 million Mexicans. At first, a lot of the Mexican farmers went to Mexico cities and found some work there. And then when our housing boom came along here, which was artificially created, a lot of them came into the United States as construction workers to work in the housing industry. Now that our economy has fallen apart thanks to the Iraq War, the immigration from Mexico has come to a standstill. In fact, it's even a little bit in reverse. What NAFTA did is they failed to address the free movement of labor. And that was done deliberately because at the time, you know, you had Wall Street interests and you had interests in Mexico and in Canada that wanted the business interests protected, but they didn't protect labor. What you have to have is you have to have the free flow of labor within a free trade zone, like you do in the European Union, but don't go to the European Union model of having a common currency.
All right, well, talk to us. How would you do that, Danny? I mean, how would you have a Mexican worker who wanted to work in Canada, how could they accomplish this?
Well, if we amend NAFTA like I'm proposing and I have a petition online on the Internet, with your passport, you would just work in Canada, you'd live in Canada, or you'd a Canadian worker wants to open a business in Chiapas, Mexico, they go down there, they open a business, and they live there.
All right, so it's just as simple as that. They would go and they'd live there. No work documentation papers, no applying for a visa, no applying for a permit. Just your passport would get you there. How would we control that? I mean, I guess my question is, what are some of the downsides? It seems like such a simple solution. Why haven't politicians thought of this in the past?
Well, the labor is going to scream, and there are downsides. The downside is you're going to get labor free-flowing to the three countries, so you're going to get a south-to-north migration of labor until that economically stabilizes in the marketplace. As supply and demand meet, the demand for labor from the south would go down, and it would balance out. The other thing that would happen, okay, there's a downside there. Another downside is in the health care cost. One of the things that I would advocate in amending NAFTA is if people are going to live in the United States, they have proof of medical insurance.
Well, the government has taken care of that with the Supreme Court ruling this week, yes, that anybody here is now going to be part of the insurance policy. It's mandated that we are going to contribute to that. So if they were working here, by definition, under Obamacare, that would take care of itself, would it not?
Well, the problem is it didn't address immigration. So you've got 20 million people that are working in the United States without documentation, and the Affordable Health Care Act did not address that. What you have is you have a free trade zone between the United States, Canada, and Mexico that's an almost $20 trillion economy. It's the largest free trade zone on the planet. But what the free trade zone did not address is the free movement of labor. And if you address the free movement of labor, a lot of things will balance out. On the plus side for the United States, our housing inventory will immediately disappear as foreign nationals come here and they buy the excess housing. On the plus side for the United States, a lot more businessmen from the U.S. can go to Mexico and to Canada and open up businesses there. The other plus side would be for the American consumer. They will be much easier able to go to Mexico and receive health care services at far, far lower cost, and it will make it so that people want to buy drugs in Canada, they can do it at far, far lower cost than the monopoly we have here. On the downside, you're going to have a lot of movement and a lot of chaos initially until it stabilizes out. But I trust the free market. NAFTA worked in creating a huge market, and NAFTA can be improved by just allowing the free flow of labor. Now, is it going to be difficult? Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult.
No. My guest is Danny Quintana. And Danny, we're talking about the undocumented immigration. So since you contend that undocumented immigration is at its core an economic problem, who's better equipped this issue as president? Is it President Barack Obama or Governor Mitt Romney?
Oh, I think Mitt Romney is going to be an unmitigated disaster. I mean, I live in Utah, and the last person on earth who should become president of the United States is Mitt Romney. He has his apocalyptic views of reality for Mormon theology. He believes people's skin color is cursed by God, and he wants to have a war with Iran, and he wants to deport 20 million people. I mean, he could not be more wrong on having a war with Iran. The last thing America needs is another war. He couldn't be more wrong on immigration. You deport 20 million people that are working in the United States, and you see what happens with the housing inventory that we have now, and look at the businesses that are going to be affected. That's 20 million more consumers that we're not going to have, and 20 more, a million more people that are not paying into the system that we have now. Who are you going to get to replace these workers? Because you got 78 million people retiring. Are you going to get the white guys with signs on the side of the freeway that are all methed out and heroined out saying, homeless, please help? I mean, it's totally unrealistic.
All right, and we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Danny Quintana, author of the book Caught in the Middle, Stories of Hispanic Migration and Solutions to America's Immigration Dilemma. Danny, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to my website, DannyQuintana.com, or to the book website, CaughtInTheMiddleBook.com. I would encourage all of you to buy the book because it helps me deliver wheelchairs to the third world, including Mexico with the World Access Project. And thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, Danny, it's been our pleasure. Thank you for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.